Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Zendesk. Now, it's not often we're joined on this podcast by a professional football player, but that's exactly what's happening now. I'm pleased to welcome all the way from Dublin, Ireland, Maxime Blanchard. Maxi, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Duncan. Ex-football player.
Ex-pro football player.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So Maxi, I think, as I think many of people know him, is a former French professional footballer who played as defender and defensive midfielder. What are some of the teams you've played for, and what would you say was the highlight of your football career?
I played in different countries. I played in France, England, I played in Ireland. I had a little stint in Asia as well. But the two clubs that are close to my heart are Plymouth Argyle and Tranmere Rovers in the third tier of English football. I played here for Shamrock Rovers as well in Ireland. But those are the two clubs that are very close to my heart. And yeah, okay. Plymouth Argyle is a special one as well for me.
Okay, so is that how you ended up in Dublin playing for that team?
Yeah, I mean, like, I had family as well over here. My brother was here for quite a while, and moved to Ireland, like, kind of a decision to get a bit closer to the family as well. But originally was because of that reason. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. And your accent is kind of a mix between Irish and
French. It's all over the place, isn't it? It's all over the place. Look, citizen of the world, citizen of the world. Yeah, it's French and Irish, yeah. And a bit of everything.
Yeah. Now, something I was when I was doing my research for this interview, Maxi, yeah. I had a look at your Wikipedia page. Did you know that you are incredibly old, especially to be playing football? According to your Wikipedia page, you were born on the 27th of September, 1786.
There you go. Fair play to me, eh? Good back and muscles.
oldest pro footballer who has ever existed, I reckon.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Cool. Now, believe it or not, we're not actually going to be spending this podcast talking about football. I think that's good for me because I'm no expert on football, but I do know a bit about technology, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Exactly, yeah.
And Maxi, you are now the man responsible for Zendesk's South African territory, and you manage some big customer accounts here in South Africa. Before we get into all of that and what the South African market is looking like and talk about some of those clients as well, tell me a little bit about Zendesk and what exactly it is the company does.
Yeah, I mean, so Zendesk is obviously a software, customer support software company, right? We are an American company. We actually was created by three Danish guys in 2007 that wanted to, you know, all these like customer support buzzwords and complicated stuff. They wanted to make it simple and beautiful, you know, and make it more reachable for people. So they created this company in 2007, and our CEO is still the founder is still our CEO. His name is Nichols Banner. Mm-hmm. And obviously the company moved to San Francisco for obvious reasons, right? And we grew quite a lot to become this leader on the market for customer support software. We like to call it a customer engagement software more than anything else. But we are this native omni-channel solution that allow you to aggregate the channel of communication, but also aggregate the context, you know, for your agents to be able to respond to your customers better. So that's us in a nutshell. We don't want to dwell too much about what the product does, right? But this is basically our DNA. Simple and beautiful is something that I like to mention.
Okay. Now, before we leave the football narrative behind completely, and I'm sure you get this question a lot, so forgive me, but have you found there's any compatibility between the pro sports world and the business world? Has the sports world been a good grounding for your entry into the business field? I'm often curious to ask sports professionals this question because I often get different answers.
I think it's a great school. You know, you learn a lot of things. It all depends on what you want to take out of it, obviously. Football especially is a very popular sport. So you grow up with a lot of people from different countries, different backgrounds. So it allows you to have a level of empathy that you don't necessarily develop in other kind of fields, you know, when you're close to people that look like you, talk like you, etc.
Right.
So that's already something. The other thing is to learn to have proper goals, have learn to be stubborn to a certain extent and have a discipline that you have to force upon yourself, those metrics, this resilience is helping, when you decide to jump into a different field. Here
Interesting.
it's very important for me because obviously in South Africa, trying to build Zendesk presence in South Africa and trying to reshape the way that business is being done from American companies in Africa in general, because I was working on a more global sub-Saharan region in the past, just reshaping how we do things, putting principles and values to the table rather than actions, but have actions that are, in correlation with it. So I think it's a great foundational work to be then shifting into any kind of areas if you take the right thing from professional sports, basically.
Right.
Obviously, it's good. There's good and bad, right? But
Sure.
no, it's great foundations in my opinion.
Yeah. It's interesting what you say about empathy, because I often think that especially the CEOs of some of these large companies are quite narcissistic. I think you see that playing out, especially amongst these giant corporations. How
Yeah.
important is empathy in the business world?
In my opinion, this is a cornerstone to anything. Empathy is a broad kind of notion, right? And a flexible one to a lot of people, unfortunately. But I think empathy helps understanding people you talk to. Again, coming back to South Africa, coming back to Africa in general and emerging markets, if you take for those kind of American companies, it's understanding that business is done very much differently
Right.
in different region, in those kind of regions, trying to segment those kind of things. But it means that you have to understand a little bit more what are the main problems, what are the main sources of anxiety. And I do believe in that because like a source of anxiety, whether it's global or whether it's more granular to a personal level, is something that you want to solve and you want to reassure so that you make people's decision a little bit easier to be made. So in my opinion, empathy is the kind of the cornerstone to whatever you do next. And it helps you listen to people a little bit better, more and a little bit better as well.
Interesting perspective. Okay, so Zendesk, the company has recently commissioned a research report looking at the South African market, look at CX or customer experience and what companies are doing in the space locally. Firstly, for those who don't know, what is CX exactly? What is customer experience in the context of a company like Zendesk, and why is it important? And then following on from that, what were the main takeaway points that came out of the research report for you?
So again, as the point that we say, empathy, trying to understand a little bit better. So we didn't want to be that kind of like American company that comes in and say, you should do this, you should do that. We wanted to know more. We believe in knowledge basically and believe in guidance. So we did this to make sure that the trends that we have in a global kind of, landscape was, that we had something a bit more inherent to Africa and to South Africa and more, accurately. So CX, in my opinion, so we mentioned customer support, right? For Zendesk, that basically those inbound kind of conversations that come in. But CX is kind of like blurring the line between whatever is inbound, whatever is outbound, whatever is retention against acquisition. It's basically the overall experience that the customers would have with you. When I say you, it's very important. It's not the business has to be humanized, right? So this is basically what we believe in. And so we did this kind of like a CX survey, and there's a few things that came in, and I'm reading my notes, but I don't really need to. But what we saw is like two top frustrations in South Africa. And the top frustration was it's hard to speak to a human, to a person, right? And it's the issues are not necessarily solved immediately. And those are the main sources of anxiety, sources of problems. And you can definitely relate to that. I relate to that. I'm a terrible customer. I'm actually a terrible customer. If I don't have an answer right away, or if I have to look on the website where to find the solution or where to find how to contact people, I get super frustrated. So those top frustrations were correlated to, we asked also the people, what are the top improvements that you would want to see in companies in South Africa? And they're all very obviously linked, right? Otherwise, that wouldn't make sense. So the first answer was, and it was by miles, it was 75%. Faster response time. People want faster response time. Okay. So you ask a question, your level of anxiety goes up as time goes up as well. It's very much linked. So if you have a faster response time, anxiety disappears right away. Okay. So it's very good for businesses to understand that. Then it was finding the information on the website. So finding information is not just finding where to contact you. It's also, I have a simple question. Although I want to speak to a human for something complicated, on the other side, I really want to know where the answer is when it's just, I have to change my password. I don't really want to speak to a human. I want to make sure I can do that. So, having access to a pool of knowledge, basically. And the last one is the obvious one, is more channels. So, more channel was the third one. It was about 60% of people was asking that. Obviously, it's all linked to what's happening in South Africa, the digital kind of revolution in the country. People have access to more technology, more smartphone and all that. But I'd like to bounce off that, Duncan, because more channels sometimes it's not necessarily what we want to hear, because it's a Pandora box, right? You want more channel so that it's easier. I think the more channel piece is just when you dig deeper into it, it's just making it easier for customers to reach out to you. So when we say more channel, it's not just splash all the channels in. It's just we want the customers to be able to reach out to you where they want, where they feel more comfortable. Again, getting rid of the anxiety of, I don't want to be on the phone because I'm not comfortable with English, or I don't want to be on the phone because I don't know, I just don't want to spend a lot of time waiting. So I want to be chatting and I want to be sending you a WhatsApp because I'm comfortable with my smartphone and I know it's quick. This is basically the goal here, is to make it easier for customers to reach out to you. So those are the main takeaways that are to be understood. But if we put that in a business context, I think there was one metric that was very important, is 92% of people actually believe that customer support is part of their decision making in choosing which company they are going to deal with. If they had a bad experience, we all know retention is works like that. If they had a bad experience, there's a good chance they won't come back. But also when they have a good experience, there's a very good chance they will come back. And this is the shift that we see at the moment. Good experience is very important. It's not just avoid the bad experience. Good experience will make them come back. And one company was head and shoulders above all the other companies in that survey. It was Takealot. Takealot was by a landslide, the one that came back with the best rating in customer support. And
Interesting.
I found it very interesting. I found it very interesting because I spoke to a neuroscientist, Duncan, the other day, and it was comparing, like the Amazon, way of doing things, which is very much Takealot. It's not the choice you have on Takealot's website, that on Takealot's offering, that is making them amazing. It's how easy they make for the client to make a decision. And they've always been ahead of the trend, and they're big, avid supporters of technology to allow them to be fast in response time, have loads of different channels that are fast as well, that are, working on that, a very fast resolution as well, and basically making it easy for customers to choose what they want to buy, basically. So I thought this is basically tackling this anxiety by creating predictability around it. And I found it interesting. Obviously, they've been customers with us for a while, right? But it shows that even during this big digital interest in South Africa, they were on the right foundations to be the leaders and to keep being the leaders. We all saw their earnings this year has been absolutely phenomenal. But it shows how technology was allowing them to achieve that.
Well, I was gonna ask you, and I guess the answer to this question, based on what you've just said, is yes. But I was gonna ask you, can you actually see from the outside when a company is doing CX really well? Is it patently obvious at first glance?
I think so. I think it's that is obvious, and the contrary is quite obvious as well. When companies are failing massively on CX, well, we've seen that, especially this year, because obviously COVID was an accelerator in one way or the other, right? Companies that weren't allowed to pivot achieved terrible CX.
Yes.
We can mention Edcon for to not to mention somebody, but Edcon was a very good example of that. And it was a devastating kind of results out of it, right? But we've seen also companies that were struggling. So if we take example of COVID being an accelerator, a lot of companies were relying on legacy kind of system of tools. I don't want to talk too much about Zendesk in that point. I want to talk about, more global and high level. But so a lot of companies were struggling with telephony because obviously, being on premise and not being able to be in the office made those companies struggle to actually respond to customers. I have actually a very good example, Duncan, about a company that were struggling and came to us. They're called Leroy Merlin. They are, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they are
I am.
obviously a big retail DIY shop, let's put it this way.
French
And
company.
it's actually a French company. Yeah,
Yes.
it's actually a French headquarter. But they have, different entities, and the SA entity is definitely doing their own thing, right?
Right.
And the CIO, Dimitri, I remember at the time saying, like, look, there's 90% of the requests that can't be answered. And we have this vision for a while of moving into a more e-commerce kind of, vision. And we worked with them on shifting and pivoting into an omnichannel landscape, omnichannel kind of infrastructure. That was very interesting because in the past, a lot of those companies thought it would take ages to do it. And in a couple of months, they were live. A couple of months, they pivoted from a model that was struggling and putting them into a bad situation. And thanks to a bold move from their CIO as well, they managed to just shift that completely and be on excellent foundations. And spoke to them the other day, and Black Friday was an absolute hit. And requests are being answered super fast. Customer satisfaction is off the roof, and they're doing pretty well. So it's very interesting. You see Takealot on one side, great foundations, always ahead of the trend, being able to pivot one way or the other because they made good technical decisions. And it's never too late. That's the thing. The example with Leroy Merlin is a very good example. It's like it's never too late. You can make a decision and then keep being ahead of the trend a couple of months later. It's quite interesting. So to answer your question, yeah, you can see very, very easily which ones are doing well, which ones are not.
Well, while we're on the subject of your clients, there's the third client that we can talk about, and that's Mukuru, which is a really interesting fintech startup that does money transfer for migrants, I think primarily between South Africa and Zimbabwe, if I remember correctly. What work are you doing with them?
So yeah, it's kind of a different one. So obviously we like the retail Takealot, you remember, and Mukuru is fintech, right? So there's loads of different problematics, let's put it this way. But if you think of fintech, the level of anxiety as well is massive. Like when I have to reach out to my bank and it takes 2 days to come back to me, like for those 2 days, I'm quite anxious, if it's a question that I want an answer rapidly. And also this is why first response time and resolution time are very, very important in those kind of industries. But also we're talking about an industry that is growing with a lot of competition. And there's a big fight now that time is basically the dollar in those kind of industry where how many clicks to open an account, how many clicks to be able to reach out to people, right? This is exactly what they are trying to, fight for. This is a tug of war there. And so with Mukuru, it's very interesting because they had the endeavor of, basically building good foundations, technological foundations in CX in the past. And then COVID happened, and instead of panicking, they took it as a chance to reflect upon it, optimize it, and actually, again, bold moves, right? Keep going for their growth projection and growth plans. So what they did is actually optimized, well, there's Zendesk, obviously, but Zendesk or anything else, huh? There's a lot of different tools I would say that they'll be using in the background, but optimizing it to build the foundation, so reflection, finding where the problem sits, work with us in guidance to find a solution and execute upon it so that they can keep going with their growth even in a kind of challenging time. And they've been doing really well this year. So it's very nice to see this kind of success story. But yeah, in a nutshell, I think it's very important that the reflection, even during those kind of like crisis times, were very much beneficiary to them, because now they are on in a very good way, you know.
It's interesting. The three companies you've spoken about now are all in the business to consumer space. I'm curious, does CX also play a role in business to business type of organizations?
Yeah, I think, yeah, like 100%, and maybe even more so. Yeah, the consumer space is easy for people to understand, you know, like what are the level of anxiety and how do you actually act upon it, and you know, the benefit from investing in it. In B2B, if you think about it, the anxiety lies somewhere else. I'll give you an example. You work with your B2B, you work with a pool of different clients, right? Some would be maybe more important than others. But what you want to do is, again, we mentioned a neuroscience kind of word of anxiety, getting rid of it by creating predictability. If I'm a client of you as a company, Duncan, and I want to reach out to you, the last thing I want is when I reach out to you, you don't know who I am. You don't know what's the history of interaction. You don't know my contract, the nature of my contract. And you make it hard for me to reach out to you. So in my opinion, B2B is a case of creating predictability around the way that we interact with each other, humanizing it by routing your request to potentially the same person, you know, so we have a kind of one-to-one humanized interaction, accelerating and facilitating the way to reach out to each other. You know, if the way is through a customer portal that, you know, proactively throw you information so that I can come every week and have a report and have access to something, we facilitate that as well. If I'm driving and I have a problem and I want to call you, or if I want to send you a voice message through whatever kind of means of communication, or if I want to WhatsApp you, not while you're driving, but if you're traveling, you should be able to do that. And when it comes into the system, it should be able to be recognized, routed, and have a certain amount of context for the agents to be able to respond to it faster, you know? So it's the same kind of mechanism, if you want, with different sources of anxiety that we want to get rid of by always creating predictability, in my opinion.
Okay, interesting. Now, you've touched on this. I mean, you mentioned the example of Takealot and how well they've done this year.
Yeah.
Is it how measurable is it? Are you able to actually demonstrate in real practical terms what an investment in CX means for bottom line business success?
Yes, obviously, and then we are obviously going to step away from Takealot because this is more a global conversation, and those are metrics and data that you can't really share. But yes, obviously, every time we do business with companies, and I don't like the return on investment kind of model of saying it because it's been overused by a lot of American companies that are putting a return investment plan against Californian standards, let's put it this way, or London standards. So what we try to do, Duncan, and we spoke about that a little bit more, a little bit in the past, is do everything with three kind of core pillars, right? The first one is obviously guidance. I think guidance is super important. Everything we do, we try to bring knowledge to the client and try to get knowledge from the client, right? So that knowledge comes from best practice, comes from, you know, what we know, but also comes from them, the metrics they share with us, but also what's going on in the world at the moment, what's going on in their situation. Flexibility is the second one, right? We don't want to talk American money. We don't want to talk American ways of doing things. We want to talk more something that's flexible and basically tailored to the resources we want to bring to the customer. And the last thing is obviously local presence. And I told you, Duncan, we work with a lot of local partners that are actually executing upon the problem. You know, we say identify problem, identify a solution, execute upon it. So in that space, the return on investment is tailored, right? So it's more business case and financial benefits of what we are actually doing. And it's there's some obvious ones, so obvious metrics, and some less obvious ones. Obvious metrics are obviously you can, all depending on the metrics that the client is sharing with you, right? If you have a faster response time, that means that you have a better resolution and you have more requests that can come in and be solved, obviously. But it makes also your agent's time more efficient, obviously. So if you spend 5 minutes on the phone trying to find out what the contract nature of your customer is, of what the history of interaction might be, and you reduce that to 2 minutes, for example, being very conservative, you know that you're saving X amount. If you can have X amount of chats at the same time and reduce the time of handling time because of the fact that you have better context and better routing to the right people in the company, you can do that. But also, over time, we can work on metrics on, look, first resolution time helped us. You can correlate that with the number of retention and acquisition of customers that we can have, right? Obviously, working on a very much collaborative way with our customers to achieve that. But we believe that better routing leads to better resolution. Better collaboration on behalf of the customer leads to better satisfaction. And we all know that the higher the satisfaction is, the better the business is and the better the retention is. We have people in the business that are specializing in it, and all we do with our customers, we always correlate the numbers and the metrics thanks to that.
Now, if you were to choose one metric, I suppose it depends on the type of customer, but if there was one metric you had to choose that's generally the most important in determining the success of a CX project, what would you say it is? Would it be customer retention?
I think if we so two let's talk about two nature of metrics. The first nature of metrics would be very much, support solution based. I think it's first answer and first resolution. So first response time and resolution time. So average handling time, basically. That shows you, how you perform, basically. Obviously, we have those CSATs and all, but CSATs come with time and we need to find a way that works better for engagement as well. So that's the first thing. The second thing is CX. So on a more high level, I think a lot of companies in South Africa, Duncan, understands, the omnichannel acquisition, right? It's something that's been around for a while now. We want to acquire a customer by, being able to reach out to them through social media and all that. The next phase is retention. Omnichannel retention has to be aligned to the omnichannel acquisition, So retention is key. But the interesting piece in retention is it costs five times less money than acquisition. So actually, spending money in retention today, especially in this e-commerce revolution we are seeing in South Africa, with a lot of companies investing in it, there's going to be a lot of competition. So retention is going to be a key metric, to support acquisition, right? And support your growth, basically. So for me, retention is key and is the next, it's definitely the next war. Yeah. And it's basically the already ongoing.
Right. So, lastly, before I let you go, are there any factors that are peculiar to the South African market from a CX perspective? And what does it take to be a CX champion in South Africa?
Yeah, I think South Africa is in a very interesting time, in my opinion. I always come back to last year, for example, 2019 was a very interesting year for South Africa because a lot of companies were undergoing those big digital transformation projects, the ones that are scary. So all the scary ones, that started in January, and by the time you're in June, like nothing has happened, but the rand got depreciated so bad that something that was costing 1 million rand was 2 million rand all of a sudden without anything started. And that was the way of seeing things before. There was a digital transformation is a one shop, is one stop shop. You go for one big company, most of the time a legacy company that is sometimes purposely not educating you the right way, right? Because they want to possibly sell you more things. I don't know, but it reverted so that the anxiety around that, and this is the peculiar part of South Africa, is that there's anxiety around that, anxiety around the lack of education, purpose lack of education of some of the foreign companies, the fact that there's often lack of flexibility. We always talk about dollar billing, right? And the fact that Forex, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, is a source of anxiety because there's no predictability around it, right? So because of that, you've seen a lot of South African companies revert to on-prem, you know, because we want, you know, when there's anxiety, we go back home. You know, we
Yes.
go back to ourselves. We feel better when I can see what's happening. You know, I
Right.
control it better, which is counterintuitive because you don't. The cloud-based is made to control things better, but it's understandable. And then COVID happened. So the acceleration, the reflection around e-commerce, around digitalization has been amazing. And I've been speaking to a lot of companies, even the most legacy ones, even a NESCOM, for example. The digital literacy over the past 6 months has been growing massively in South Africa. In my opinion, I think there's going to be a leapfrog being slightly behind, you know, to potentially being super innovative as a country. And that's for me, fills me with a lot of positivity, you know. So in a nutshell, what I want to say is there's sources of anxiety that are inherent to South Africa and Forex and the natural defiance towards foreign vendors in general because of the lack of education, because potentially the lack of understanding and empathy as well, which is part of that. It's just a case of trying to get rid of those anxiety by creating more predictability, working with more local companies, potentially bidding in local currency. This is all the things that we do to get rid of those sources of anxiety and makes it again easy for those companies to make a decision, whether it's for with us or with somebody else. Sometimes we would say to people, look, this is not, we provided guidance. I don't think Zendesk is the right fit. You should look there. It's good for you. We still value that. We'll still value that a lot. So it's, there's a lot of reflection in South Africa at the moment, very positive reflection. And I think there's a lot of positivity around the digital kind of revolution in the country.
Good stuff. Maxime Blanchard is South African Territory Manager at Zendesk. I said I'd asked you I'd asked you the final question I was going to ask you, but I actually have one more for you. Do you watch any local
Okay.
football? And if so, which team do you support?
I don't really watch South African football. I don't really, but I used to play with a guy called Onyesmore Besera, who's a football player, a Zimbabwean football player. We used to play for a team in South Africa, and yeah, well, Kaizer Chiefs is the one that that you would know about along with the Pirates, basically. So at the moment, I will stay on the fence and don't make any enemies or anything like that, and say I would support a South African national team.
Very diplomatically answered. I was going to say that I was going to
Exactly.
get you into a lot of trouble by asking that question, but
Exactly.
it's been good to chat. Maxime Blanchard is again South African Territory Manager at Zendesk, I beg your pardon, and of course a former pro football player. It's been lovely talking to you, Maxime, and all the best.
All the best, Duncan. Bye bye.